This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
I sometimes think maybe the less attention we paid to all the feelings we have in the flesh, maybe the more we would feel what we should feel in the spirit. We can't let our emotions, our fleshly emotions, dictate to us our behavior. See, when I was not nearly as strong in God, even though I was a Christian, I still did a lot of what I felt like doing. And if somebody made me mad, then I was mad. And if I felt like telling them off, I told them off. And if I felt like talking about them, I talked about them. And if I felt like putting a wall up and shutting them out of my life for 3 weeks, I did that too. But the more I've grown in Christ and the more I've come to understand His Word, the more I've learned that I don't have the luxury of acting on all of my feelings. And I really wish the feelings would go away, but they don't always. So it's not necessarily my feelings that God's going to change. It's me He's going to change so I can be stronger than they are. If there's anything that we need as children of God, we need to stop praying for all of our opposition to go away. Paul never prayed for people's problems to go away. You cannot find a place in the Bible where Paul prayed for their problems to go away. He prayed for them to endure whatever came with good temper. He prayed for them to have self-control and discipline, and no matter what was going on in their life, to behave the same as if it wasn't going on. And so this is a big challenge for us, because we just so love to tell people how we feel. I feel. Can I tell you how I feel? Well, yes. I mean, I think we need to be in touch with our feelings, and I think we need to own our feelings, but we also need to deny them the right to control us. Now, you might need to think this over a little bit, because this is a huge problem in people's lives. And, you know, if you get pretty proficient at not letting your feelings control you, then they will get weaker and weaker, because anything only lives if you feed it. And so the way to kill things is to just stop feeding them, stop giving into them. And then they start losing their power over you. And what once was extremely hard is no longer as hard as it once was. So we all have feelings, can't always do anything about that, but we have to choose not to act on the feelings if we know it's against the Word of God. And believe me, you do have a free will and you can make a choice. I said you do have a free will and you can make a choice. You do have a free will and you can make a choice. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit given to us so we can control, guess who? See how smart you are? At least this section over here is. Shall we do it again? Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit that's given to us to help us control who? All right, you all passed the test. So we have to get rid of the, I can't help it. It's just too hard. Now, I admit that if you let your feelings, especially anger, if you let it get into a rage, then you may be at the point of not being able to control yourself. That's why we need to learn how to recognize things when they're first beginning to happen, how to take every thought captive before they become a stronghold in our mind, how to resist the devil at his onset, At the very beginning, when the enemy first begins to tempt you, that's when you get away from sin. Come on, you don't flirt with it for 3 weeks, hoping that you're not going to be the one that's going to get caught. Don't be like the little girl that was walking down the mountain path and she saw this serpent laying in the road, and it was very cold, and he begged her to will you pick me up and put me inside your coat? I'm very cold. And she said, well, no, I'm not going to do that. And he said, oh, please pick me up. I'm very cold. Will you just put me inside your coat? So she picked him up, put him inside of her coat, and a little bit later, he bit her, and she said, why did you bite me? He said, you knew what I was when you picked me up. We can go slow. That's okay. You know, you don't all of a sudden get into an adulterous affair. It starts with flirting. It starts with thinking the person that you're married to isn't. You're not. It goes from one thing to the next, from a coffee to a donut to a lunch to a... to telling this person now all your problems about your pitiful, pathetic, bad marriage. Well, anyway, that's not on the program either, but. See, if we would just, I mean, you know, you've heard the saying around, you know, you need to nip it in the bud early. Well, that's really, I mean, we need, the sooner the better. The sooner we take action, the better it is. And when you feel yourself getting angry, the sooner you say no. Not going to live like this. You see, anger, if it's not controlled, is poison to your soul. And this phrase came to me today, so I hope it's not too far out there, but I think when we allow ourselves to get bitter and resentful and we have deep-seated, rooted anger in us, I think it's like committing spiritual suicide. That doesn't mean you lose your salvation, but it just kills everything that God wants to do in your life. What does anger solve? Well, I learned a great lesson that morning as God took me to Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, be angry and sin not. So I realized that God must be saying that there was a way to be angry and not to sin. And that is to make a decision about what you're going to do with the anger before it's managing you. Then he goes on to say, how many of you ever get angry? Just wanted to see if I had the right group. I didn't know if maybe I need to change my message or not. When you're angry, do not sin. Verse 26, do not ever let your wrath, your exasperation, your fury, or your indignation last until the sun goes down. You know, if you happen to get mad in the morning, you got all day, but if it happens on the way to bed, you're in trouble. All joking aside, it's obvious that he's saying here that when you get angry, you will get angry when there's injustice. That's not a sin, but God's saying, I've got a better way for you to fight your battles. I'm going to teach you how to fight like a Christian. Instead of doing what you would have done before you were saved and just let that anger control you and start spitting all kinds of poisonous things out of your mouth, you can say, God, help me. Help me. I know that this is not going to get me anywhere. I know this is wrong. But I'm not going to act on this. I'm going to control myself. And I'm going to trust you to take care of this situation. We have an option. Thank God we don't have to take care of ourselves. Come on, some of you need to retire from self-care and just throw a big retirement party. Is there anybody in this place that's tired of trying to protect yourself all the time and trying to make everybody pay you back for what they did to you or what they didn't give you? Surely there's got to be somebody in this building tonight or somebody watching by television that you have been angry long enough and you're ready to say, I'm not willing to live angry anymore. But I had a lot of anger for a lot of valid reasons. Anger can be very valid. You can have a real reason to be angry, but still Jesus is saying you don't really have any right to, because that's not the way I want you to live. I've got a better plan. I'm going to teach you how to fight like a Christian. Amen. When you're angry, don't sin. Don't ever let your wrath, your exasperation, your fury, or indignation last until the sun goes down. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give him no such opportunity. When we stay angry, it's an open invitation for the devil to come in and wreak havoc in our lives. God's got a better plan. Anger is only one letter away from danger. You stick a D on the front of it, and you got danger. And let me tell you that we are living in an angry world today. I am astonished, really, at the violence and how the violence in the world is escalating. I mean, even just the things that we've heard on the news in just in this one week. Stabbings and shootings and young people going wild on the beaches and having to be arrested. And young people after ball games that they won going out and doing all kinds of violent acts. And we just go, what is going on? And I believe that one of the things that God has showed me is, of course, we know that, you know, there's a great decline of morality in our society. And anywhere that, well, let's just put it like this. The less morality we have, the more anarchy we're going to have. The more violence, the more crime, the more people that are just going wild. And so this whole nonsense that's going on in the world today about trying to get God out of everything is absolutely, I mean, it's not even just ungodly, it is just very dangerous, extremely dangerous. People have to have something good to hope for. They have to have hope of change. And if you believe there's no God, then there's no hope. There's none. You know what I think? This just came to me this week, but I really believe that a lot of these people that are perpetrating all these horrible acts of violence, I think they're angry people that are without hope. They don't know how to win their battles. They don't have anybody to help them. They don't know anybody to talk to. And they just know that things are wrong and they're mad about it. And many of them have probably had things happen to them, but because they don't know God and they don't know how to let God fight their battles, then they get angrier and angrier and angrier, and that anger turns into resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness, and then it turns into rage, and then we have it. The enemies of Israel, several times it says in the Bible that their enemies were afraid of them because they saw the hand of God on them. And so we need to make sure that we just don't have a little dab of religion every now and then. We need to have a full-on, on fire, stirred up relationship with God. And that means, now I want you to listen to me, that means we have to stop playing games and kind of dabbling around as a Christian. And we need to get serious about doing things God's way. And I just want to share with you tonight that it is not acceptable. Being an angry Christian is an oxymoron. It just does not go together at all. You say, well, I'm not mad about anything. Well, if you're not, you're one of the blessed few, let me tell you. You say, well, how do you know that? You don't know if I'm angry. Listen, I've been doing this a long time. I mean, this is not my first go around here. And I have never, not one time ever preached on anger, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, strife. Not one time ever. And at the end of the session, ask how many people were having problems with that right now, and they needed prayer, and they were ready to turn away from it. I've never had less than 70 to 80% of everybody in the entire building stand up. So, we have got a lot of angry Christians. And you have to understand, where there's no peace, there's no power. Where there's no peace, there's no power. Jesus had power over the storm because he didn't let the storm get in him. So we got a lot of things to talk about tonight and tomorrow morning about dealing with anger instead of letting it deal with us. Anger is one letter away from danger. James 1, 19 and 20. Understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and slow to get angry. The Bible says that God is slow to anger. For man's anger, now I want you to get this, man's anger does not promote the righteousness that God desires. In other words, anger is not the right way to behave, and listen to what I'm going to say, anger is not the right way to solve your problems. There's nobody in here that has ever solved your problems through being angry. It never makes anything better. You get two angry people yelling at each other, and now you got a real problem. Be slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to anger, slow to take offense. Let's be the kind of people that it's almost impossible to make us mad. Yes, no, maybe. And I know it's possible because, I mean, I had a quick temper. I was angry more than I wasn't. And sometimes I was verbal about it, and sometimes it was just something seething on the inside of me. When we get angry, if we have unresolved anger, we either explode or we implode. We either fall apart inside or we're blowing up at somebody. And a lot of times, you're taking it out on people that had nothing to do with what you're angry about. You know, if we don't understand this kind of stuff and we don't resolve these issues, a man can get mad at work because he didn't get the raise he thought he deserved and go home and take it out on his kids and his wife. And that goes on all the time. And a lot of it is because we don't own our anger. We don't admit, I'm angry about this. And I'm angry because it wasn't right, it wasn't just, I did deserve that raise, but God, right now, I'm going to release this to you. I mean, do you really think that you can get yourself a raise any quicker than God can? Oh, listen, we have no idea what God would do for us if we just let him. I said we have no idea what God would do for us if we would just let him. But we're so afraid that we're not going to get what we want. Listen, if God can't give me what I want, then I have no business wanting it. I said, if God can't give you what you want, you have no business wanting it. Just because I want it doesn't mean it's right for me to have it. So the deeper you get into your relationship with God, the more you can trust him to do what's right for you. And you learn that nobody on this planet, not the devil and no person, can take anything away from you that God wants you to have. Now that's the way to fight like a Christian. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger appeases contention. Proverbs 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his own spirit is better than he who takes an entire city. You know what it means to rule your own spirit? It's this whole thing that I'm talking about self-control and not just going with every feeling that we have. Come on, let's get honest tonight. How much are you ruling your spirit? How much are you ruling your fleshly feelings and your emotions, your words, your thoughts, your feelings, and how much are they ruling you? This is the place that we're at. This is like the next thing on the blackboard to grow in. Don't think you came here for no reason. You didn't come just to see what I look like in person. Well, maybe you did, but whatever God uses to get you in, that's fine with me. We got to get ready for the war that's coming. We got to get ready. The Bible says that in the day the Lord returns, people will just be going about their business just like everything's just as normal as it can be. And suddenly, like a thief in the night, Christ is going to come, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't want to keep putting stuff off. I'm not going to be perfect when Jesus comes back, but I'll tell you what, I want to be further along than where I am right now. I don't think it matters to God that we're perfected or not. He already knew what he was getting when he got us. But I'll tell you one thing. God wants to see us pressing on, and he wants to see us serious about growing up in him and doing things God's way. Jesus has given us a new life, and he says you got to put off the old man and put on the new man. And you can do it. But you need to want to. You need to really want to. You need to want to enough to pay the price. Proverbs 22, 24, and 25 even say don't associate with somebody that's angry, lest you learn their ways. So this is a pretty serious thing. There are many angry people in the world today. Now, some people have been angry so long they don't even really know that they're angry anymore. They've just become bitter, cynical, negative, critical. A lot of angry people are depressed. That's the root of their depression. Not all, but some people just have all these unresolved issues in their life. Do you know how long I was mad that I was sexually abused by my father? And I didn't go around really consciously aware that I was mad about that. But anytime that you've had something taken from you that you have a right to have, if you didn't have a father, if you didn't have a mother, if one of your parents was an alcoholic or there was a problem and you were cheated out of something, there's a part of you that says that's not right. And I fought the world's way for a long time. I was angry and harsh and hard. Nobody was going to push me around. Nobody was going to tell me what to do. And I was trying to be a Christian like that. I loved God. But I had not gotten serious enough with God to say, I want to do it your way. And I think maybe if there's any benefit that I might hope to be to the body of Christ, it's in helping believers mature and grow up. It's time to get rid of our diapers, our pacifiers, and our baby bottles. Babies can act however they feel, but it's not very attractive on a 40-year-old man. It's a good thing we had a good time with God before I started this. The Bible even says in Hebrews 12 that we should watch out for one another, lest any root of bitterness and resentment get in among us. So let's help each other. When somebody's telling you their sad story about how mad they are, encourage them to let that go and give it over to God. Tell them what a waste of time it's going to be, and just encourage people. I know it's not right, and I understand why you feel the way you do, but, you know, can we pray together and turn that over to God? Would you be willing to give it over to God and let God be God? You see, God didn't like what happened to me when I was a child either. I wasn't the only one that didn't like it. He didn't like it, and actually, it made him angry. Now, God is not an angry God, but he can get angry. And he gets angry at injustice, but he knows how to fight the right way. Got to learn how to fight like a Christian. Let's look at Mark chapter 3. Again, Jesus went into a synagogue, and a man was there who had one withered hand as a result of an accident or disease. And the Pharisees, you know, the Pharisees really annoyed Jesus. And they actually did make him angry. It was a righteous anger. It wasn't a wrong anger. There is anger that's wrong, but there's also a righteous anger. And the Pharisees kept watching Jesus closely to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might get a charge to bring against him formally. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, now I love this because see, this goes back to what we're preaching last night. Jesus knew that he was about to make him mad, and I think he kind of arranged to do it on purpose. So he said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come and stand here. He didn't even do it in private. He said, come here and stand here right in the middle. Woo, I love it. Come on, just get out here. If we're going to do this, let's just really show the dumb people. I mean, if Jesus didn't want to make a ruckus, he could have just kind of took the man off to the side and not stirred up the Pharisees. But he wasn't going to be controlled by them. Verse 4, and he said to them, is it lawful and right on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to have life or to take it? But they kept silent. And he glanced around at them with vexation and anger. Everybody say, Jesus was angry. Grieved at the hardness of their hearts. And now, I just love, I hope you can make this jump with me here. So what did Jesus do next? And he said to the man, hold out your hand. He held it out, and his hand was completely restored. So now, boy, if we can get this tonight, we can learn how to fight like God would fight. We can learn how to fight like a Christian. These people made him mad. And instead of turning away from his assignment from God, and arguing with the Pharisees and trying to convince them they were wrong, Jesus' response to the anger that he felt was to heal a sick man. Come on, we'll sneak up on you, but you'll get it. The only way to fight like a Christian, the only way to fight like God, is to overcome evil with good. From the beginning of time, we have been in a battle. The earth has been in a battle between good and evil. It has always been raging. It started in the garden and it has never stopped, but it is escalating today, especially in the Western world. Now, a lot of these things, I mean, the rest of the world has been so bad for so long that we can't even imagine. And we need a great return of morality. But in the meantime, those of us that do represent God, that are what he calls the light of the world, we have to press in like never before to represent Jesus, to be Christ-like in our behavior, and we have to learn how to fight like God would fight, and that is you don't return evil for evil. You don't return anger for anger. But when somebody does you wrong, you go out and help somebody else. Now, this is really a spiritual secret, and a lot of people never get it. They just they just never get it. But I hope that you can get it. And I hope all the people watching by TV can get this. If you can learn how to fight like this, you will win every battle. And I know that some of you, when I share these things, I can see the looks on some people's. It's almost like you're disgusted with my whole message because you're just thinking, don't even try to tell me that I'm supposed to go home and be nice to this jerk. Listen, I didn't say you need to let people abuse you. I think that there are times when we need to exercise what I would like to refer to as controlled anger. And that's the kind of thing where somebody's not treating you right, and you know that for their sake, you need to confront them. You pray about it. You ask for God's perfect timing. And then you go, not in a rant and a rave and a rage, and you calmly tell them, you are mistreating me, you are disrespecting me, it's not right, and I don't intend to live like this. And can I tell you this? Sometimes the less you say, the greater effect it has. Too many words means nobody remembers anything. Boy, that was good. You know, I just did not act good for the first several years of our marriage, and just angry. And you know, people that are angry down deep inside, you just don't behave well. And Dave's a very patient, long-suffering man, a very godly man, and he had no intention of not trying to see things through to the finish. But I'll never forget one day, we're in the back bedroom of the first house that we owned, and we had a mirrored closet, like a double door closet, and the whole thing was mirrored, and he was standing in front of part of it, and I was standing kind of back over here, and he turned around and he looked at me and he said, you know what? If I depend on how you treat me to tell me what kind of a man I am, I'd be in bad shape. And he said, if this continues, I'm just letting you know right now, I don't know what I'll end up doing. Didn't say nothing else. Wasn't angry, didn't shout, didn't yell. But it was time. It was God's time for him to confront me. Now, did anybody hear what I said? You know, you're not going to get anywhere if somebody's yelling at you and you're like, you're not going to treat me that way. And let me tell you about it. And then they go, you're and then the kids come in the room, they're like, ah. And then after about a half an hour of that, you don't even know what you were fighting about. All you know is you're mad. Is anybody understanding me? I know what I'm talking about. I God revealed, thankfully, that secret to me in the Word, and I can show it to you in 10 scriptures. Where the proper response to being mistreated, to being abused, is to pray, bless, and do good to overcome evil. It is a secret that the devil cannot understand. Mean people cannot understand it. Only a believer in Jesus Christ can understand it. It is the only way for a Christian to fight and ever win their battles. Now, I know that that's irritating to your flesh. I get it. Because we're so mad. I'm so mad. Do I look mad? I'm really sure. I'm so mad. And if you think that you're gonna treat me that way, and God is saying, really? I mean, really? Has that ever worked? Is anybody in the building ready to try God's plan? Now, it will be hard on your flesh because you may not get instantaneous results. Let me tell you a secret that I've learned. Sometimes you have to do what's right a long time before you get a right result. So if you're only going to try this once to see if it works, you know, I'm not offering you a magic charm tonight, you know. Somebody mistreats you and you go help some little old lady across the street, now all your problems are solved. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about lifestyle here. I'm talking about, devil, you've got enough of my life. You're not getting any more of it. I mean, listen, as long as we keep buying into the enemy's system, he can make us mad 50 times a week. We're mad because somebody cut us off in traffic, and we're mad because somebody took our parking place. I don't have no time for that anymore. If I'm waiting for a parking place and some goofball comes and whoosh, I just, bless you. Hope you enjoy that. Well, that's not right that they did that, and I'm not going to put up with that, and I'm going to tell them off. Okay. See you when I come back in a couple of years. We can talk about it again. It's up to you. You know I'm right. There's always going to be somebody out there to annoy you. Getting mad about it's not going to make them go away. God uses them. For all you know, God arranged for that guy to be there to get that parking place. Just to pull out of you the very thing that he wanted to pull out of you. So hopefully you would finally see it and deal with it. Because if it's in you, it's going to sneak out. Romans 12:17, repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is honest and proper and noble, aiming to be above reproach in the sight of everyone. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave the way open for God's wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. I think we needed to be reminded of this. But if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not let yourself be overcome by evil, but overcome and master evil with good. Psalm 37:1-8. Verse 1. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. One day I read that scripture and a lady out in the audience yelled out, that's me, Sister Fret. Fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be envious against those who work unrighteousness, that which is not right or in right standing with God, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord and do good. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord and do good. Here's the way to fight like a Christian. When there's an evildoer that has done wrong, don't fret yourself, but instead lean on, rely on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord, and while you're trusting God, do good. You know, if you can learn to understand this, the devil will finally get smart enough to go bug somebody besides you. I mean, if every time he attacks you, you're going to go bless somebody else, why bother? I started talking to you last night about anger, and we started in Ephesians 4 that says, when you're angry, do not sin. Don't ever let the sun go down on your anger. So it doesn't say that if you get angry, when you get angry. We all experience anger at different times in our life. The feeling of anger is not a sin. It's what we do with that anger that can become a sin. You don't want to repress it. You don't want to express it wrongly. We need to control ourselves. That's why God has given us self-control. I want to encourage you to teach your children properly about anger. Don't make them think that every time they get angry that they're doing something wrong, but teach them to control their anger and not get violent and do things that don't make any sense. If you want your children to not be angry children, then you need to not be an angry parent. Because if they're living in a house full of anger, they're going to pick up your habits. That's exactly what I did from my father. And so we started learning last night how to fight like a Christian when somebody mistreats us or abuses us. The answer to it is not to try to get them back. It's not to return evil for evil, but it's to trust God and do good. Put our trust in God. God, you're our vindicator. I trust you to deal in the proper way with people who have mistreated me, and I'm going to continue to do good. I'm not going to turn away from my God-given assignment to deal with all the mean people in the world. I'm going to stay focused on what God has called me to do. I'm going to keep helping people. And when I help people, I'm sowing a seed then for my breakthrough in life. We can easily understand. Let's just say that there's 100 people called to do different things in the kingdom, to help the poor, to be missionaries, preach the gospel, worship leaders, whatever. So let's just say 100 little demons are sent out from hell every day, one assigned to each one of those called, anointed Christians. And all that demon's job is to set them up to get them upset, to offend them, to put people in their way that will mistreat them, to hurt them. And so if these 100 Christians don't understand what I'm talking about today or what God teaches in his word, then they're going to spend all their time fighting these battles. They're going to stay angry all the time. They're going to complain all the time. They're going to get bitter and resentful, and they're not going to accomplish what God has called them to do. It's very easy to understand that we war not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. And we are in a war, and we do need to fight, but we have to learn how to fight like a Christian. The only way that you can overcome evil is with good. You cannot fight evil with evil. You cannot fight anger with anger. The only way, understand me today, the only way to overcome evil is with good. God does not stop being good because the world is full of evil. Did you hear me? God does not stop being good because the world is evil. Now, we do have to fight a fight. We are in a war. The body of Christ is said to be an army, the army of God. And there's places in the Bible where we're referred to as soldiers in the army of God. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, Paul said to Timothy that he was to fight the good fight of faith. So when you're being attacked, one of the ways to fight is just to stay in faith. And to keep saying and keep saying and keep saying, God, no matter what's going on in my life, I trust you. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of the eternal life to which you were summoned and for which you confessed the great confession of faith before many witnesses. So he's saying, don't just tell people, but fight that good fight of faith. Do you realize that when you've got a problem, and instead of getting upset about it, you open your mouth and say, God, I trust you, that you're fighting like a Christian? Come on, let's say it again. When you have a problem, when you find out that somebody lied about you, when somebody didn't invite you to the party, when somebody rejected you, when somebody ignored you, those are minor things. Let's go deeper. When somebody abuses you, when somebody misuses you, when you don't get the raise that you justly deserved at work, when somebody else gets the promotion that you should have had, anger is not the way to solve the problem. Now, you're going to feel anger. The first response is you're going to feel anger, and I would too. But that's not my clue to just go ahead and get angry and have a fit. Just because I feel anger, what I need to do is say, uh-oh, the devil's trying to steal from me again. God, thank you for the fruit of self-control. By your grace and mercy, I'm going to just calm down. Calm down. And if you have a hard time calming down, you need to try what we had here earlier when we were worshiping God and Jackie was singing that song about the Holy Spirit. Get yourself some good worship music, and if you're on the verge of having a fit, turn it on, get in a room by yourself, and just go, oh. Okay, now, Lord, I feel like, but thankfully, I don't have to because I'm a new creature. So here's my response, and I would speak it out of my mouth. Here is my response to the attack against me. God, I trust you. I trust you. I will say of the Lord, Psalm 91, 1 and 2, verse 2, I will say of the Lord, I will put my trust in him. He is my refuge. I will say of the Lord, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can come against. If you don't want to be defeated by the devil, just hang out in the presence of God. Keep saying, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. God, I trust you. I need to stay another week and teach some of you how to talk out loud. And I mean to do something besides murmur about all your circumstances. And then I would follow that up by saying, now, God, I've learned how to fight like a Christian. So I'm asking you to show me somebody that I can bless. Come on, I know this is new. Let's just go ahead and go through the gate this morning. Okay? You're being attacked. Let's just make up a story. Pastor's been faithful. He's had an associate pastor. He's loved and blessed, and he pays him well, and he respects him, and he honors him, and the guy gets good vacation. And so the guy gets it in his head that he should have his own ministry. So instead of doing it right and going to the pastor and telling him what's in his heart and asking him to help him and how's the right way to go about this, he begins to cause dissension by finding things wrong with the pastor and talking about the pastor among the other people that he knows in the congregation. I don't know, you know, pastor seems to me like he's kind of losing his anointing. And did you see that new car he bought? I bet, you know, I'm not giving my money for him to drive some big fancy car. And you see that jewelry his wife wears? I mean, that's a little much, don't you think? And you know, their kids are quite unruly. I mean, they don't make their kids mind at all. So he stirs up enough other stupid people, excuse me, but that's what they are. It's bad enough for somebody to do that, but we're just as dumb as they are if we listen to them. When somebody comes to you finding fault with somebody, especially somebody that you have loved and admired that's working hard to help you, you need to come back with, well, you know, I don't know about that, but I do know that they've helped me a lot. My life has changed. They're faithful. They're dedicated. They're diligent. Listen to me. It's a trap. It's a demonic trap. Offense comes from a Greek word called skandalon, which means the bait that was hung on a trap that lured an animal into the trap for destruction. So when the devil stirs up strife and tries to get us offended, he's baiting us. John Bevere wrote a great book called The Bait of Satan, and literally, offense and strife is the bait of Satan to lure us into a life that's going to have no power, no victory. We're going to miss the call on our life. We're going to miss what God wants us to do and what he has for us. Okay, so associate pastor gathers up a few not so wise people, and the more they talk, the madder they get, the more they find wrong, and so they decide that they're just going to leave and go start their own church. And I can tell you there's very few churches that this hasn't happened in. It's called church splits. And so now let's just say the congregation is about 400 people and he takes 100 of them and goes a mile down the street and starts his own church. Now, pastor has a decision to make. Is he going to get mad? Is he going to lose his peace? Is he going to get angry? Is he going to start worrying and being afraid that, oh, he's losing his people and now he's going to go down the drain? First thing he needs to say is, well, God, we know that this is not being handled right and it hurts me and I think it's terrible, but I put my trust in you, and anybody that leaves, you can give me three more in each person's place. Can I just tell you this? Anything that's not of God is not going to prosper. So we don't really have to worry about it too much. And then if he's really wise, what he should do is go buy the guy a sound system. Why would I want to do that? Because that's the way a Christian fights. That's the way you win your battles. That's the way you win your wars. Now, I know this is like a totally, like, sounds like crazy kind of thinking, but what do we think the Bible means when it says bless your enemies? Is that just a little floaty, spiritual sounding, oh yes, bless your enemies? There's too many things in the Bible that we never turn into practicality. We just sing about them and we confess them and we think they're cute little scriptures and we think somebody else ought to do it. But when it needs to be applied to our life, well, why would I want to bless my enemies? Nobody said you want to. What makes you think you have to want to do it? Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. He made that plain, Father, if you can remove this cup from me, please do. However, your will be done and not mine. I don't have to feel like doing everything to do it. What if somebody would have showed up here this morning and said, oh, guys, sorry, Joyce didn't feel like coming today, so she wanted to fly out early. You don't have to feel like being friendly with somebody to be friendly. You don't have to feel like smiling at them to smile. And that pastor doesn't have to feel like buying that guy a sound system to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit if that's what God leads him to do. Is anybody seeing what I'm saying here about the power of being a blessing? Because what happens when he does that, when he trusts God and he does good, he puts himself right clearly in a position for a miracle from God. And that's what we need. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. As for you, this is Paul's instruction to Timothy. But let's don't read it like it's just for Timothy. Let's take this in like it's for us. As for you, be calm and cool and steady. Calm and cool and steady. Accept and suffer. Unflinchingly. Whoa. You mean I can't even make a face? every hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fully perform all the duties of your ministry. So he doesn't get out of fulfilling his responsibility and his duty just because he's having a hardship. Let's just say that you sign up to work in the nursery one Sunday a month at church, and your Sunday rolls around and you didn't have a very good Saturday. It's a character test. What are you going to do? You're going to just not show up and not even tell anybody, which that's what a lot of Christians do. They sign up but don't show up. Oh, nobody will miss me. I'm just one person. Or maybe you even do let somebody know that you're not coming, but the whole reason why you didn't come is because you're not in the humor. You don't want to. You had a bad day. Let me tell you something. The only time we grow spiritually is when we do what's right when it doesn't feel right. Come on. I mean, if I feel like doing it, that's no test. But man, if everything in me wants to tell you off and instead I pray for you, now I'm growing. If everything in me wants to bail on my commitment, but because I want to be a person of excellence and integrity, I go ahead and ask God for the grace to do it anyway, and I do it with a smile on my face without complaining, now I'm growing. Come on, it's easy to say. If I said, how many of you want to grow in God? There would not be one hand in here that wouldn't go up. Everybody would lift their hand. Well, you're not going to grow without something that makes you grow. I can't get more muscle unless I lift a heavier weight. Amen? We have to stop being afraid of hard things. We have to stop backing down for the fight. We're going to read verse 5 again and then go through verse 7. As for you, be calm and cool and steady. Accept and suffer unflinchingly every hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fully perform all the duties of your ministry. For I am already about to be sacrificed. My life is about to be poured out as a drink offering. The time of my spirit's release from the body is at hand, and I will soon go free. Now watch this. I have fought the good, worthy, honorable, and noble fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Wow. 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 You see, I made a decision about 20 years ago that I was going to finish. I was reading John 17, came across verse 4, where Jesus said, Father, glorify me now, for I have completed the work that you have given me to do. And I had a touch from God when I read that, and I began to weep and weep and weep. And I made a commitment to God right there. I'm going to finish my race. With your grace and your help, I want to stand before you and be able to say, I did all of what you wanted me to do. I didn't do 10% of it. I didn't do half of it. I didn't do 90% of it. I didn't quit somewhere along the way because it got hard. I didn't give up because I got old. I didn't quit because I wasn't being appreciated. I didn't quit because I was being attacked. I want to finish my race. And let me tell you something. I don't think anything is going to feel better than that. Make your mind up today that you're going to finish, that you're going to learn how to fight the good fight of faith. You're going to learn how to fight like God would fight, fight like a Christian, and you're going to go all the way through to victory. There's all kinds of scriptures about the importance of peace. The Bible says we have to pursue peace. If you want to have peace in your life, you're going to have to really want to have peace. And you're going to have to want it enough to be willing to make changes in order to have it. But let's talk about some of the anger that's in the world today. And, you know, it's one thing if somebody hurts your feelings and you get angry and you deal with it and get over it. But, you know, there are people that have deep-seated anger in them. And can I just say that if you are blowing up all the time over petty stuff and things that don't make much sense, there's something wrong. And it's something that you may have buried and forgot about a long time ago, but let me tell you, it's our secrets that make us sick. It's the things that we need to deal with and get out in the light, invite God into those dark places of your life, and get to the root of things. I was angry and blowing up all the time, and you know, an angeraholic. Their theme in life is, you made me mad. Well, Dave made me mad because he played too much golf, and Dave made me mad because he watched too many sports, and my kids made me mad because they were messy. And somebody else made me mad because they didn't make me feel right, and somebody else made me mad because of this and this, and if you would just stop making me mad. I don't even know what I'm talking about. You know, I saw a movie about a guy that was a wife abuser, and he beat his wife all the time, and every time he'd beat her up, he'd say, "Now look what you made me do." If you continue my word, you will know the truth. The truth will make you free. The truth will make you free. We need to ask God to come and mess in all the dark, deep, secret places of our life, and we need to be ready to get to the root of our behavior. I was angry and blowing up all the time, and to be honest, I was just very hard to keep happy. I was a high-maintenance individual. Now, I know none of you are like this, so just... And I didn't realize that it was still from my childhood, that I was angry. I had deep-seated anger in me because I'd been abused as a child. My childhood had been stolen. I never really got to be a kid. And not only because of the abuse, but I had a shame-based nature. I was operating from a basis of shame. I'm sure at some point I started out being ashamed of what my dad was doing to me, and then somehow or another I internalized that and became ashamed of myself and thought, well, there's something wrong with me because he's doing this to me. Must be my fault. And I had a record playing in my head for years, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me. And I thought because I left home and got away from the problem that I didn't have the problem anymore, but I had it in me. And there is value in letting God and the counselor of the Holy Spirit show you the root of your problems. It's amazing what understanding does for us. You don't have to go on a digging expedition and, you know, but ask God to show you. Ask God to show you. And there was something wrong with me, and I didn't know what it was. I loved God, and I went to church, and I wanted to be nice. I wanted to be better, but I didn't know what my problem was. For example, I had a very difficult time showing mercy to people. I was just harsh and hard, and I had my rules and guidelines, and if you didn't follow them, I was going to be upset. Don't I sound like I was rough to live with? But just for my benefit, is there anybody that's tracking with me, and you kind of know what I'm talking about? And maybe if you're not like that, you're living with somebody who is. I think my congregations are split in half. You're either like me or you're like Dave. And I can help you on either end. And so God showed me after I started asking, God, why do I have such a heart? Why am I so hard-hearted? Well, one thing, I was afraid to be tender and soft because I thought if I didn't, that I'd get walked all over, mistreated. I was afraid to really trust God to be my vindicator because in case he didn't come through, I wanted to let these people know that nobody was going to push me around again. Because, you know, when we do things on our timetable, then we don't have to worry about whether God's going to come through or not. But let me ask you a question. Is what you're doing working? No, I can answer it for you. No, it's not working. You're digging a deeper hole every day. So here I'm full of shame. I didn't like myself. So how could I like anybody else? You can't give away what you don't have. I couldn't love Dave properly. I didn't love me. I couldn't love people. I found something wrong with everybody because I was constantly finding something wrong with me. I couldn't be merciful to other people because I didn't know how to receive mercy from God. I was hard on myself. Every time I didn't do the right thing that I thought I should do as a Christian, then I went through my pattern of guilt and condemnation and punishing myself and refusing to enjoy life. And then I'd finally get over it, and then I'd sin again. And I lived in that pattern for years and years. And I'm here to tell you that it has taken 37 years, but you are looking at a free woman. Amen. I'm talking, I am changed. I mean, you gotta really push me now to make me mad. And even if you're successful, I won't stay mad very long. Because I know the danger. And I open my mouth and say, God, this hurts so bad, I feel like my guts are gonna fall out, but I trust you. And you show me what I can do to be a blessing for somebody, because I fought my way for a lot of years and it about killed me. Now I'm learning how to fight like a Christian. I'm learning how to fight like God fights. Amen? So, but what we normally do when there's something wrong with our life, we just kind of cover it up some way. We don't want to deal with it. If God starts to mess in our problems and we get a little bit too close and He starts, then we're just like, no, we don't have no time for that. Well, I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you or not, but I can remember several occasions when I would open my refrigerator and smell like, whew. Close the door and hope the next time it's gone. So go back, open the refrigerator. Rotten broccoli is the worst. It is just like the worst. And so then maybe I'd move a few things around and then I can't find it, you know. Oh, I know what I'll do. That'll take care of the problem. Some of you have been spraying perfume on your stink long enough. And you know, I didn't want to take the refrigerator apart. I didn't want to have to get everything out and set it on the table and take out the vegetable drawers, take out the fruit drawers. And there was a drain in the bottom of the refrigerator under all those drawers. I don't think refrigerators are even like that today, but the old kind were. And man, it was messy, especially if you hadn't been in there in like 5 years. And you know what we do? We dress it up. We take it to church. Praise the Lord. This is the way we go to church. This is the way we go to church. This is the way we go to church every Sunday morning. This is the way we go back home. This is the way we go back home. This is the way we go back home. No different than when we went. And God's saying it's time for deep cleaning. Throw away your odor spray. Invite the Holy Ghost into the deepest, darkest places of your life and say, God, I don't care how bad it hurts. I refuse to live in deception. I am going to take responsibility for my behavior, and I want you to show me what the root of my problem is. Amen. Do you know what would happen if our politicians would pray a prayer like that about our country? If they'd have one good prayer meeting, God, show us what the root of the problem is. with the violence in the world today. Show us what's wrong in our schools, God. Oh, yeah. The Ten Commandments. Oh, yeah, we did take those out of the schools. We didn't want anybody to be offended when they saw them. You know what? We have a panel for this problem, and a panel for that problem, and a study group for this problem, and another group of experts for that problem, and the problems just keep getting worse and worse and worse and worse. The answer to everything is find out what God wants you to do and do it. Just do it. What is wrong with anybody that would forbid a child to pray? Or to bring their Bible to school? You know what? I'm determined to be a happy Christian. And I can't be a happy Christian, and I can't influence anybody else if all I'm doing is spraying odor spray all over my own messes. We don't need a world full of wounded healers. We need people that were hurt, that get healed, and then they're ready to help somebody else. How can the blind lead the blind? Now I'm going to tell you something. My message is fun. But you pray that prayer, and you go home, and God starts ripping things apart. You better find something to hold on to. Because it's not going to feel good, but it will later. Later on. And you know what? Later on is going to come. So let me ask you a question. A year from now, do you want to be the same as you are right now? Okay, then let's use this year to go through. Come on, is anybody home today? Let's use this year to go through. Let's get to the bottom and the root of our messes. Let's get rid of all the odor spray. We often spend our whole life just dealing with bad behavior in ourselves, and yet we never take the time to get to the root of it. Go ahead. I challenge you to start asking God, God, why do I lose my temper so easy? Why do I gossip so much? Why am I jealous of that person? Why did I get mad when they got promoted? If I'm insecure, why am I insecure? Not just expect everybody to keep me fixed all my life, but what's wrong in me that makes me react that way all the time? If I'm jealous of others who have more than me, why am I jealous? You know, every once in a while, I'll feel jealousy towards someone, and I have to talk to myself. I have a meeting with myself, and you know what I say? Joyce, that is like super stupid. I mean, how could you possibly, Joyce, be jealous of anybody? How could you possibly be jealous of anybody? So then I have to remind myself that God has an individual plan for each one of us, and it's none of my business what he does for somebody else, that the only thing I'm responsible for is what he does for me. Learn to talk back to the devil. When he's putting lies in your head, oh, they're getting ahead of you. Then you open your mouth and say, no, God's in charge of promotion. He lifts one up and he brings another down. Let him who has my word speak my word faithfully, the Bible says. Learn how to talk out loud and get the word of God in your mouth. And I know a lot. I mean, I was in church for years. I would have thought it would have been stupid to walk around my house talking to myself. I talked to myself, but it was like, I'm so sick and tired of my life. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's me. I'm always wrong about everything. I'm just so stupid. I'm so dumb. Let me ask you a question. Has your mouth got saved yet? Come on. Has your salvation reached your mouth? I can only say that to you because I remember when God said it to me. He said, you know, Joyce, you need to get your mouth saved. Your salvation hasn't reached your mouth. I don't give out anything I haven't had to eat. If I feel like I have to be in control all the time to be happy, why? If I have to feel like I have to have my own way all the time or I can't be happy, why? I need to begin to own my problems, and so do you. If you're angry, you need to say, you know what, I'm angry. And I get mad way too often, and it's not right. And it's not what God wants. And God, I need you to show me the root of it. I want to change. I want to change. You know, we can't just keep the old nature and stick a few religious labels on it. But I go to church. I mean, don't we realize that the greatest problem we have in the world today is so many people claiming to be Christians but not acting like one at all? I mean, there's some mean Christians in the world, man. Luke chapter 5 says that you cannot put a new patch on an old garment. You cannot put new wine into old wineskins. And that's what we're trying to do when nothing changes inside and we're just slapping all this religious behavior all over us. You got to put off the old man and put on the new man. Put off anger, put on love. And let me clearly say, we can't do any of this without the help, the grace, the mercy of God. Don't ever try to do anything. Don't even try to go home and change unless you're going to start by saying, now, God, clearly let me say that I know that I can do nothing without you. There's no amount of self-control. There's no amount of willpower. Nothing is going to help me but God. And when you ask God to help you, you may go through a period of time where you don't feel like he's doing anything. And you may have to stand steadfast and say, I'm not getting into works of the flesh. I'm asking you to show me what this problem is, and I'm asking you to do the work in me that needs to be done. I teach on grace a lot. And grace is not opposed to effort, it's opposed to earning. We make an effort, but we don't earn the love of God. You see, God loves me and you just the way we are. I don't need to change to get his love. I want to change because I love him and I want to represent him better. I might even stay angry a lot, blow up 2, 3, 4 times a week, still go to heaven. But I want something more than that. I don't want to just squeak in the back door of heaven and still be in kindergarten when I get there. Amen. Can I tell you something? And a lot of you are really serious about God. You wouldn't be out here on Saturday morning if you weren't. So, you know, in a way, I guess I'm probably just maybe reaffirming a lot of things that you already know. But I'm not just preaching to you today. There's millions of people that are going to watch this by TV in 70 languages all over the world. And that's kind of overwhelming when you think about it. But what I'm trying to say is if you're not a believer in Christ, then please accept him and become one, because there's no hope without him. And if you are a Christian, then be a serious Christian. Be a committed Christian. Be a Christian who walks in the fruit of the Spirit. Get to the root of the problems in your life and stop just blaming them on everybody else. Take responsibility for your behavior. Cry out to God to help you and to change you and let Him do a work in your life.
Here's a question from Pat. I recently saw you share about your brother and the trials that he went through. You prayed so hard, and he did too. I have a son who was a drug addict, and I'm praying so hard for him to turn his life around. Why did God not help your brother? And does this mean that he won't help my son either?
Okay, well, that's a very good question, and one that I think is important to answer. And people may not know what my brother's problems were, but he was addicted to drugs from the time he was 17. He was in the Vietnam War. He got addicted to drugs there. And he just never was able to get off of them. And I don't understand all that. I don't pretend to try to judge that. But I do believe that God wanted to and was willing to set him free. And yes, we prayed. And I think the short answer to this question is, first of all, when we pray for someone else, so why didn't God answer my prayers is what she's saying. When we pray for somebody else, God will never use our prayers to manipulate somebody else's free will. In other words, no matter how much I prayed for my brother, he still had a choice to make.
So why pray?
Well, when we pray, that opens the door for God to work. That's why sometimes when you pray for somebody to change, they may actually start acting worse than they did before, because now you've opened the door for God to begin to deal with them. So now they may be coming under conviction about something that they were totally ignoring before. Right. So every time we pray, that doesn't mean things are going to get better right away. That's why we need to inherit through faith and patience. We need to believe all the way through that God is working. But still, it wouldn't even be reasonable for God to say that everybody has a free will. Everybody, I set before you life and death, you choose. I can't make somebody else's choice for them. I can want them to do the right thing, but I can't make them do it. So why my brother did not make that choice, that's only between him and God. I don't know. I have no idea. I know that I did everything that I could for many, many years, and there was nothing else that I could do. Now, does the fact that my brother didn't get set free mean that this woman should just be hopeless now about her son?
Right.
Absolutely not. Prayer is powerful, and I believe that God answers prayer. The worst thing you could do would be to stop praying or to pray without hope. You always keep praying. But the thing is we still have to realize, and I think this is a good question because a lot of people don't understand. It's like, well, I prayed and it didn't happen. But I can't make somebody else love God. I can't make them choose to do the right thing. And if they don't do the right thing, it's not even my place to judge. My place is to pray. And then what happens is between them and God.
Yeah, that's a great point. We have to do what God asks us to do. For our question today, this comes from a junior at the University of Texas named Ratika. And Ratika says that she is applying to med school this semester and that she's absolutely sure that God's plan for me is to be a doctor. But at the back of my head, I know God has everything already sorted out in life in His own way, yet I can't seem to stop worrying and being negative about getting into med school. I'm having trouble keeping faith. What can I do?
Well, you're just going through what everybody else goes through when they're trying to step forward, especially to do something great. The enemy, he doesn't just give you one bad thought, but sometimes you get a whole train full of bad thoughts. And if you know who you are in Christ, you know that God can give you favor. So when the next fear comes up, you're not going to get in. Just declare out of your mouth, I have favor with God and God gives me favor with man. And you know, the most comforting thing to me is I don't want anything that God doesn't want me to have. Now, I'm certainly not going to say I started out that way because most of us start out, we want what we want and we're trying to get God to give it to us. But as you mature in your walk with the Lord, you finally realize that it's useless to have something that God doesn't want you to have because it's just going to be a torment. Mm-hmm. And so I can promise you that if God wants you to be in a doctor, He will open the doors for you to be in med school. And if you really feel strongly about it, if for some reason you got denied from this school, then I would try another one. Just keep at it. But if it's not what God wants, I always pray, God, I'm asking you for this. But if what I'm asking for is not right, then please don't give it to me.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing worse than having something that God's not helping you to have.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.